spend some time on the stoop, on the block where we used to sit. Thought about it all too much. I thought so hard, I couldn't say. Pete rode by on his hunch.
How's it going? I'm Tom. Unfortunately, I will not be on this week's episode of this particular episode of the show, saying as which we've been doing a couple episodes a week now. But he will be back next episode. It's just a scheduling conflict with his work. We wish him all the best, obviously. This week on the show, we will be joined by BJ Whitmer, who will be participating in the big 16-man HWA Heartland Cup coming up this coming weekend in Owensville, Ohio. Again, this Friday and Saturday in Owensville. Go to hwaonline.com right now for details. If you're within driving distance of Owensville, you really should head out for that. Really stacked tournament, but we'll get more into that in a second. Just wanted to talk about a couple things real quick before we go into the interview. First off, I wanted to plug a good friend of ours, William Hayes, H-A-Y-Z-E. He now has a design business on the side for graphic art and such called Designs by Hayes. If you're an independent wrestler looking for a new logo or just something cool to put on your gear, if you're, you know, a website owner who wants a cool new logo or something like that, or if you're just a dude on a message board who decides, hey, I want the cast of the Honeymooners eating meatball sandwiches on the set of Oz as your signature, hit this dude up. He is an incredible graphic designer. He will do whatever you want. He can make it happen, pretty much. He's really good at what he does. He did our logo, the Mike and Tom Present one, which he just gave us a new version of it, which I will go into a little more here in a second. But again, hit him up. Go on Facebook and type in Designs by Hayes. Search that in the little search bar, Dilly Bob. It'll pop up. Just send him a message, and he'll hook you up and let him know that we sent you. So with that being said, also wanted to let y'all know, if you wanted to give show feedback from here on out, you know, obviously posting the message boards is cool and all, there's two more options. Either go to your Twitter page and type in what you think about the show with the hashtag SupportProRes. That's support pro and then WRES. Or you can hit us up on our new email address, Tom and Mike Present, all spelled out, just like the website, tomandmikepresent@gmail.com. Send us a line, let us know if we suck, let us know if we're awesome, what you like about the show, what you don't like. We personally can't improve or we can't capitalize on what we're good on unless we know about it. So hit us up there. And finally, if you are an advertiser, if you're, let's say, you own an independent pro wrestling company and you're wanting to get the word out about a show, or if you run a website where you get these DVDs from Japan every week and you sell them to wrestling fans online and you want to get the word out, or if you just have like an eBay store where you sell lots of stuff every week and you want people to know about it, hit us up, mikeandtompresent@gmail.com, again, all spelt out, and we will try to work something out with you, get something done, do the deal, because we're looking for advertisers. So with that being said, we're going to go to the interview with BJ Whitmer right now here on mikeandtompresent.com. You can also get to us by typing in supportprowrest.com. Again, use the hashtag if you give us feedback to the show on Twitter, or shoot us an email at mikeandtompresent@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and enjoy the interview.
And And we're back. Currently on the line with us is the current HWA heavyweight champion. And this Friday and Saturday night in Owensville, Ohio, you can see him along with 15 other wrestlers compete in the first ever HWA Heartland Cup. BJ Whitmer is on the line. And the first question straight off the bat, since I've gotten literally, I just counted 27 emails about this since we announced that you're going to be on the show. A lot of people.
Oh, wow. 27?
That's just for this one question. Like, we've gotten a ton of feedback since we announced. A lot of people are excited to hear you. A lot of people want to know why did you decide to take the time off from wrestling, and what made you decide that you wanted to come back, and specifically for the HWA?
Okay, what made me decide to take the time off? Well, I never intended to take as much time off as I did. What happened was, that last tour in Japan I did in May and June of 2008, fourth night in, I hurt my wrist. And when I got back home, went to the doctor, what happened is they thought I had burned one of the small bones in the base of my hand there where your hand and your wrist meet. So they put me in a cast for 6 weeks. 6 weeks later, they take the cast off, and my hand was still messed up, my wrist. I was like, something's not right. So a couple weeks later, they did surgery. Ended up, I had tore two ligaments in the base of my hand there where your hand meets your wrist. So that was surgery, and they put three pins in my wrist, and it was a cast for another 10 weeks. So I was pretty much in a cast for 16 out of 18 weeks there, so that's 4 months. By that time, I had just gotten lazy. I mean, I had intended on after that tour of Japan to take a few months off anyway. I just got lazy, out of shape, quit watching what I ate. Obviously, I couldn't work out really because of the cast being on my arm. So I got out of the gym, and I just got out of shape and lazy, and I guess I became complacent. And one thing led to another, and before you know it, it's 2.5-3 years later. And and then what made me decide to come back into wrestling? I guess I wanted to get one more run in. I didn't like the way things ended for me. I just kind of, got hurt, rode off into the sunset, and nobody ever really heard anything from me again. And I just kind of wanted to, rewrite an ending. You don't really get too many chances in life to rewrite an ending to something. And I figured, I'm only 33. I figured I got a decent run left in me. So, I'm as motivated as I've ever been. I'm as focused as I've ever been. And ready to put together a hell of a run here.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned the wrist. How's your body holding up in general? Because I know you took some ridiculous punishment in, like, Ring of Honor and, the Jimmy Jacobs matches and such, and the Brent Albright tables match where you were taking some awesome-looking bumps, but they look like they killed you. I mean,
actually, right now, my body, I feel as good as I've ever felt. I guess the time away really helped. I mean, I got really out of shape there for a while. I mean, normally when I was wrestling, I was somewhere between 225 to 235. There towards the end of that last tour of Japan, I'd already, left Ring of Honor and planned on, taking at least, 4 or 5 months off from there. So I was kind of out of shape. If you go back and look at any of the footage from that last tour of Japan, I was probably 245 then. So I'd put on, 10 pounds then. And during my time off, just working a regular job, a 9-to-5-er, not watching what I ate, not working out, I'm actually ballooned up to about 270. So I put on a lot of weight there, but I'm back down to, anywhere between 225, 235 right now. I mean, I'm in probably the best shape I've ever been in right now. So, but the body's fine. The ankle still gives me some trouble. I mean, we've had some storms move through here in the last few days. Anytime a storm comes through, that ankle just aches for days. But that's something that's going to bother me probably for the rest of my life, just because after I hurt it, I didn't really take any time off until I had the surgery. And then when I had the surgery, I was told to take 12 to 16 weeks off, and I was back working for Ring of Honor in 8.5 weeks.
Now, go ahead.
So that'll probably bother me, for the rest of my life.
Now, you mentioned the weight, and you know, you were a bigger dude, but a lot of people, especially if they just saw you started in like 03-04, would be surprised to hear, you know, this big muscular BJ Whitmer was once not only a junior heavyweight, but your first tour of NOAH was for the, if I believe correctly, the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tournament. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was, because I'm 6'2", I always downplayed it, especially working ring of honor with smaller guys. I was probably the only guy in the business to actually underestimate my height. I'd always put, you know, 6'1 or so. When I'm actually, you know, and I would wear the amateur wrestling shoes, because there's no sole on, so it would, you know, because I'm legitimately 6'2", probably close to 6'3". So, especially in shoes, I'm actually closer to 6'3". So I would wear the amateur wrestling shoes when I first started there and stuff, just to bring me down a little bit so I wouldn't, you know, look too big in there against some of the guys. But on that first tour of Japan, I was probably 215 then. So, I mean, I was a bigger junior at that time, or bigger light heavyweight, whatever you want to call it.
We mentioned the tour, and especially so early, I believe you were, what, about a year and a half into your career or so when you got the call to go to NOAH? Would that be about?
Yeah, I did my first, I mean, it wasn't a singles match. The first thing I ever did, besides wrestling and stuff like that for last, I did a battle royal in, I believe, November, or actually it was December of 99, had my first singles match at our next show, which was in January of 2000. So, yeah, I was, what, a year and 8 months, maybe? No, it was June when I went. Well, that's a year and a half, yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious, because there's a lot of guys out there, a lot of very talented guys that are, you know, even 10, 12 years into their careers and they want to go to Japan, they've just never gotten the chance. How did you necessarily get into that position where, you know, a year and a half you're getting the call, hey, you want to go to Japan?
It didn't really happen that way. At the time, I was going out occasionally and working for Harley Race in Missouri, and he would run shows, I guess, in Illinois and Iowa, Kansas, stuff like that. I was going out to work for him, and I guess saw his connection from All Japan with Harley. He wanted to come and look at some American juniors for this tournament, and he was coming to Harley's. So Harley invited me out for the tryout, and I happened to just be, it was all timing, and I happened to be one of the three guys, I guess, they picked. See, three juniors, and then Bull Schmidt, which he was a heavyweight. So they picked four of us out of there, but me and Matt Murphy were the only, we were the first two that went. We went on that first tour in June, and then Superstar Steve was the other junior they picked, and him and Bull went on the July tour. So it was really just being in the right place at the right time and working for the right person, basically.
Now you mentioned, you know, you went over with Matt Murphy for that tour, and a lot of guys, when they go to Japan for the first time, you hear, you know, either, oh, I love it, I want to move there, or I'm freaked out, this place is so weird, I want to leave immediately. Did having another American going over with you, did that help the experience any? Because I know the Japanese culture way different than ours and such, so it might have been a weird culture shock.
Yeah, the culture's way different there. I was lucky enough to be on tour with Too Cold Scorpio, who is an absolute great guy, and he really helped us out, you know, showed us around, you know, kind of, I guess showed us the customs, the way you do things over there, you know, how, like, what the office expects from you, kind of thing, you know, would take us over to the NOAH office where the dojo's at, and, you know, roll around with us and stuff like that and show us some stuff and kind of show us, you know, the difference in the styles between the American style, which is, at a year and a half, that's all I've been working, to the Japanese style and what they kind of expected in the ring and stuff like that. So, yeah, Scorpio was great, and we were lucky enough that he helped us out a ton, an absolute ton, so...
Now, we mentioned the culture shock. Are there any weird stories necessarily when you're over there, whether you're around wrestling or, you know, even just hanging out between shows, where something happened and just kind of took you aback? Like that was a little different.
I mean, some of the food's a little weird. Takes a little getting used to, especially when you're accustomed to, you know, eating, you know, just American food and stuff like that. Even like the McDonald's and stuff are more set up, I guess, for the Japanese palate and for their type of taste and stuff like that. So it's a little different, little, you know, getting used to. But as far as like anything I've seen like out of the ordinary, it's a real culture shock. Seeing like vending machines with beer in them and stuff like that was a little bit different. You know, at the convenience store in the hotel, there's these vending machines with like cans of beer. I'm like, wow, I haven't seen that before. So that was a little different.
Yeah. Now, around that time period in America, I believe my timeline can be a little bit off. That was around the time that I believe HWA got the WWE developmental deal. Did you have to be around that atmosphere a lot? And if so, like, how different was it going from, you know, working, you know, this indie on, let's say, Friday and then coming to HWA on Saturday and being around all the WWF guys, for instance?
Let's see. I was working a lot when I went to Japan that first time. I was working a lot for Ian Rotten at the time, IWA Mid-South and stuff. And then I guess it was about the time that – was it the time – yeah, my timeline here is a little messed up. I think when I got back from that tour, about that time, summer, July, August is when the deal actually got signed and they started sending the guys in. Like a lot of the old WCW guys came in first. Like Jamie Noble, Shannon Moore, most of the WCW guys they kept got sent there, except for a few that they put on TV right away. And that was a little bit different. I know there was some heat there between, like, I don't know if I'm going to say heat, but there was some differences there. Because some of the guys, yeah, they didn't want to be there in Cincinnati here with us and stuff. And there was a little bit of heat with them and, like, the local guys, I guess. But I never had any heat with anybody. I actually made some good friendships, you know. Got to be good buddies with Jamie Noble, which, you know, I'm still friends with him today. I haven't talked to him in a while, but, you know. And then I just ran into, like, because we got TNA guys in town, Shan Moore and Spanky, Brian Kendrick, and I hadn't seen those guys in years. But and then you just kind of got, you know, they kind of gave you, like, clued you into, you know, how – you know, especially when some of the WWE guys got sent down, like Raven and Tommy Dreamer, kind of how, you know, you were expected to act, you know, in the WWE-type dressing room kind of thing. But it was cool. We got to work a lot then. Just talking about that, with Spanky about that, we were working probably three nights a week minimum when HWA had that developmental deal, sometimes four nights a week. So, I mean, we weren't making no money, especially if you weren't signed, which I never was. We weren't making any money, but we were working a lot. You know, and I got to work a ton of good guys during that time.
Now, you mentioned working for Ian at the same time, and I believe HWA was taping their TV. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, I forgot to mention that. I actually had to quit working for Ian because there was heat between Ian and Jim Cornette and Danny Davis. We didn't have a place to tape TV here in Cincinnati, so OVW had a developmental deal also at the time, only being 90 miles away. They set up a deal where Danny would let us tape our TV on Sunday afternoon at his arena. Well, it was a conflict of interest, so I could either stay and work the developmental stuff, or I, you know, had to quit and work for Ian. I could quit working for Ian and stay and do developmental. So I was like, I think, you know, I'll stick around here at HWA and go ahead and, you know, leave IWA just because it was, at the time I thought it was, and I guess it still was, you know, I would still, you know, make that same decision. It was a better opportunity to kind of get noticed and to kind of network and make connections with people. So, yeah, I wasn't allowed to work for Ian anymore once Les signed that WWE developmental deal.
Yeah, I was just curious because, yeah, I had thought maybe you had worked a couple of times for Ian, but then I was thinking, you know, if you were working at Davis Arena every weekend, that would be a little awkward with all the heat there with Ian. Now, around 2000, I think January of 2003, you made your debut for Ring of Honor, and a couple people sent in some questions wanting to know your memories, because there were a couple of big four-way matches you were in that a lot of people thought really broke you out from the pack. There was one in Pittsburgh with Paul London and Homicide, and I believe Colt Cabana, and then there was another one in New Jersey about 6 months later, and people just wanted to know your general thoughts on those two matches.
Well, the first one was Pittsburgh, and that was my first match there. I had been, like, Spanky, when we was working here in Cincinnati, developmental deal, Spanky recommended me to Gabe in about, I guess, June or July of 2002, right when Ring of Honor, they had only been, you know, 3 or 4 months old. Me and Spanky had an awesome, hellacious match here, and it was in actually the building that Ring of Honor still runs there at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Dayton. And we had a hellacious match there, and Spanky's like, I'm sending that to Gabe. He's like, Gabe needs to book you. So he, you know, kept telling Gabe, you got to book this guy. You got to book this guy. Send him the tape of the match and stuff like that. Well, we didn't get anything put together until that January show, so that was my first match in. And I believe they had to make some changes to the card. At first, I was supposed to work Paul London in a singles, if I'm not mistaken. But then some things got shuffled around, and it was a four-way with me, Paul, Homicide, and Cabana. And I rode up because he booked Matt Stryker for a tryout match, the Cincinnati Matt Stryker. And I believe he was working Chad Collier that night. And, of course, I had the four-way. And we'll break kayfabe here a little bit. But when we got to the building, kind of, you know, meeting Gabe and stuff. And I was like, what is the finish? He's like, Paul over on you. I was like, well, I have an idea for a finish. I was like, he's like, okay, run it by me. And I was said, you know, we go through a sequence of hitting finishes. Finally, I've got one of the guys, either Homicide or Cabana, bridged in a dragon suplex. Paul comes off with that shooting star press while I've got the I'm bridging. He gets the shooting star press, 1, 2, 3. We used it. It got over like $1 million. And as soon as I came through the curtain from the match, Gabe's like, I want to talk to you tomorrow. And I pretty much had a job there from that moment on.
And as for, there was I believe it's the Death Before Dishonor one in New Jersey. There was a four-way there that a lot of people were asking about that a lot of people to this day still think about, stole the show on that night, if you had any memories of that.
I just remember it being an awesome match. I remember from the time it started to the time it ended, it just felt right while you were out there. We're out there, and at the time the company was young, we all had something to prove. You know, we all wanted to, you know, put the company on the map, and, you know, we just went out there and worked our asses off. It was still one of my favorite matches that I had there, especially during that first year. I mean, I thought it felt awesome when we were out there. I think it still would hold up to, you know, the multi-man matches done. I think the only did would hold up with any. I thought both those matches I thought were awesome. But I'd be willing to bet they'd still hold up today.
Yeah, for sure. Now, when you were during your time in Ring of Honor, a lot of people would consider you kind of like a feud guy, quote unquote. Like a lot of guys would just get random, you know, matches all the time, like so-and-so versus so-and-so, just go out there and do whatever. You were in a lot of feuds in Ring of Honor between, you know, the Prophecy, Second City Saints, you know, even like the Hardcore versus Technical Wrestling deal with Steamboat and Foley,
yeah.
And you know, all the way up to the Jimmy Jacobs feud, rather, and the feud with Bryn Albright and all that. Did
CZW
you
know your stuff?
Yeah, how could I forget that? That was incredible. Well, and my question is, like, did you ever consider it kind of like a badge of honor that, you know, you were trusted to be, you know, at the forefront of so many of those feuds as opposed to just being, you know, a guy that would be sent out for random matches?
You know, I always felt I did my best stuff when I had something, a feud where I could, you know, sink my teeth into it, really get emotionally invested into it, and really just go out there and, you know, work my tail off. You know, pretty much, you know, worked my ass off every night I was out there. I gave, you know, 100% of whatever I had that night. You know, if I was hurting, so be it. I'd go out there and I would still, you know, put my heart and soul and gave everything I had every night. I always felt that I was a great utility guy for Gabe. No matter what position he put me in, whether it be opening match, main event, I always thought I was a great utility guy for him, that I could pretty much put on a good to great match with anybody. You know, like you said, I was lucky enough that I was booked into a lot of different feuds and stuff, and maybe showed some versatility, you know, that I could, you know, do the tag team stuff and do this feud and that feud and stuff like that. So a lot of people knock me for lack of charisma and lack of interview skills and stuff, but you know, I thought I did fairly well for what I did. You know, I didn't talk a whole lot, kind of, you know, soft-spoken, that kind of thing. But, you know, I thought I did all right for, you know, what was a skinny kid from Cincinnati here, so.
Now we have plenty of questions about some of the feuds that you were in. For instance, we have a couple people here that were wondering, because a lot of those CZW angles, they got pretty chaotic at times. Were you ever afraid that it was going to go a little too far, or are you just thinking, hey, this is pro wrestling, things get wild?
Yeah, I never thought it was going to get out of hand or anything like that. Those were some, especially that six-man we did in Philadelphia, where it was me, Joe, and Pierce against Necro, Hero, and Super Dragon. The energy in, where did we do that? Did we do that at the Armory there in Philadelphia?
Yeah,
the energy. Yes, the energy in that building was off the charts. I mean, because you had half the crowd, like, literally, they put CZW fans on one side, the Ring of Honor fans on the other side, and it was just, I remember just being awesome, and the energy, and you know, and it, I think it elevated all of our performances that night just because the fans' energy, they were so into it from the time we started till the finish of that match. But no, I never thought anything would get out of hand or anything like that. You know, we all just wanted to, you know, make it the best feud we could. And I think that angle stands up against any angle, period, done in wrestling.
Now, especially in that CZW feud, you were doing a lot of crazy things. And we mentioned that earlier, you know, whether it be the no-rope barbed wire match Necro or some of the crazy bumps you took in that. Were you ever afraid that you were not necessarily get a reputation but kind of be counted on little much like, oh, here's BJ, he's the guy that's willing to do this and this and that. Let's rely on him to do some of that crazy stuff all the time. Were you ever afraid of, you know, getting kind of typecast in that, or were you always secure that, hey, I'm also a great wrestler, people are going to see through all that?
You know, I always took pride, especially in being, you know, a decent-sized guy and being a good bump guy, too. I always wanted to take one of the bigger bumps on the show, kind of give something, give people, the fans, something to remember, like, hey, you know, I remember, you know, him taking this crazy-ass bump. I kind of wanted to be remembered, you know, throughout my career as a great bump guy. Did it take a toll on my body? Yeah, it did. But, you know, I wouldn't change anything. You know, it's kind of what I wanted to do was, you know, be a good bump guy and take some crazy bumps and stuff like that. I don't know if I got typecast into that type of role or not, but I enjoyed doing it. Like I said, I took pride and being a guy that's 225, 230 pounds, taking bumps that, you know, most guys that are 160, 170 pounds are taking, kind of thing. But, yeah, I think my work showed I could do other stuff besides just take big bumps, too.
Now, and you mentioned, you know, you were one of the bigger guys, maybe even the biggest guy in Ring of Honor a lot of the time. And that brings me kind of, I apologize for skipping a little bit back and forth here.
Oh, there's no problem at all.
Your first round opponent in the Heartland Cup is a guy who you've been a partner with, you've feuded with, and that seems to be about half of the questions people are wanting me to ask on this thing are about the feud with Jimmy Jacobs, because so many people loved it. And first off, I just wanted to know, what do you think brought the chemistry on? Because you two clicked immediately as a team, and then you were, you know, great rivals, and then you even brought it back for Ian, you know, after the original feud in Ring of Honor. What do you think made you guys click so well?
You know what? Some guys you just have that chemistry with, and, you know, the second you step in the ring with them, you feel it, boom, and you're like, damn, this is going to be good, and we can do good stuff here. Some guys you just don't click with. It just happens, you know, and, yeah, the feud with Jimmy was great. The fact that we were able to draw it out for a year, I think in this day and age was tremendous. I guess you got to give credit to Gabe there too, because the way he booked it, you know, to make it last an entire year when a lot of feuds in this day and age don't last that long. But yeah, Jimmy, yeah, we had some crazy matches, you know. But we felt like we had something to prove. Both of us did at that time. I think we went out there and worked our asses off every night we was in the ring together. We never took a night off. It was always, you know, trying to up the ante a little bit and have a better match than the last one we had.
Now,
he's one of my favorite guys that I've ever, you know, done any kind of program or wrestled.
Now, speaking of some of the craziness you guys put yourself through, that immediately makes me think back to the power bomb. I'm sure you've been asked a million times about where you guys both kind of went the direction you didn't necessarily want to go and kind of
the one where I hurt my ankle.
Yeah. Like, what was going through your mind like when you were like up there and realized, hey, I'm not necessarily going in the right direction, or was it just so quick that you couldn't think about it? Then all of a sudden, you know, you
it
guys are
happened so fast. The spot we were going to do is, I always called it the Kid Cash Easy Money spot because they did it in ECW where they're both standing on the top rope. I go to powerbomb him and he yanks me over in the Hurricane Rana. Well, they had these cloth covers on the turnbuckle that connects the rope to the post. And as I'm sitting there, I was like, you know, this thing wasn't on here last time. And I was like, well, screw it. We'll do it anyway. And when we got up there, when I pulled him up, from the powerbomb part of it, that cloth cover spun because my weight shifted to that back foot, and my back foot was on that turnbuckle, and my foot shot out. So we were going backwards, and it happened so quick, all I could think was to push him towards the ring so maybe he would hit the ropes and bounce in, or it would at least help break his fall because he was in a much more vulnerable position than I was. It just so happened that when we hit, like, I come down with all my weight on that right leg, and fractured the base of my tibia and tore two ligaments off the bone and destroyed a big piece of cartilage in my ankle at the time. But I thought he was hurt real bad, but luckily enough, he wasn't. So, but yeah, it just happened so quick. I knew as soon as I pulled him up and my foot shot out where we were headed. So I just tried to push him towards the ring and just prayed that he would hit something before he hit the concrete floor, which he did, luckily, that broke his fall some, but it still looks like he dies every time, you know, I watch it back and stuff.
Now, after it was so huge and so many people saw it and loved it at Ring of Honor, you guys brought it back for IWA at their 500th show. I believe the deal was Jimmy was supposed to wrestle Jack Thriller in an I Quit match, and then Jack got hurt or something to that extent, and yeah, you filled in at the last minute for that spot. Was it your guys' idea to kind of bring it back, or did Ian kind of come up to you and like, hey, I need a match, could you guys do it?
Jack had broke his ankle or something at his regular job that week. I think it was a show on a Saturday. My memory's not as good. I think the show was on a Saturday. And Ian called me on, like, Wednesday. He was like, look, you know, this is the deal. Jimmy was supposed to work Jack in an I Quit match. He broke his ankle this week at work. He's like, I need a match. Can you do it? I was like, yeah, I ain't got any good time. You know, I was, you know, slowing down on my bookings. When was that, March? I think I'd been out of Ring of Honor a few weeks, and I purposely hadn't took any bookings just to take a break. And then Ian called me and was like, you know, can you give me a huge favor and do this? And I was like, absolutely. And he's like, well, I'm going to put you in the same match. And he set up the angle to me and this and that. And I was like, okay. I was like, yep, perfect. So yeah, it just kind of happened that way, and then the match got over. The I Quit match got over so well that he wanted to do the no rope barbed wire, and I got in touch with Gabe just to make sure that at the time, you know, I had only planned, like I said, for the tour of Japan and getting hurt, I had only planned on taking off 4 or 5 months, and I called Gabe just to make sure. I was like, if you have plans on doing this, you know, when I get back anytime in the future, you know, I'm not going to do it for Ian, and Gabe's like, nah, I have no plans on doing it. He's like, go make your money. I said, all right. And I called Ian back. I said, let's do it.
Now, the finish for that match, and we actually had someone humorously call in, and not call in, but email in and ask what your opinion was, if it wasn't your suggestion, the finish being, you know, you're getting spiked in the groin repeatedly. If it wasn't your idea, what kind of was your response when you heard, hey, BJ, is it cool if, you know, I try to spike you between the legs a couple times?
I forget whose idea it was, but I thought, I was like, it's different. You know, it's something, you know, different. And, you know, who wouldn't say I quit stabbing the girl a bunch of times, you know? So, yeah, because, you know, we threw everything we had at each other pretty much in that match. And, yeah, I thought it was a good idea. I don't know. I guess it got over, but I thought it was a good idea, something different. I'd never seen it done before, so.
Now you've made your comeback a couple months ago for the HWA, and you won their belt. Real quick, because I know we're having you on because we want to help promote the HWA Heartland Cup coming up this weekend. Real quick, if someone hasn't gotten to see the HWA and this tournament's going to be their first shows, kind of explain, you know, what they're to expect. You know, why should someone, you know, find out about the HWA and seek it out?
Well, HWA, of course, is where I started at. They're actually under new ownership now. The guys are trying to get, you know, a good independent set up here in Cincinnati, you know, run good shows and stuff like that. Me coming back to them, I happened to get a call from one of the guys, because I know one of the guys real well that bought the company. It was three guys that bought it, and one of them I know real well. And I had run into him in December, and I had, you know, that time I had just started training hard again and watching what I was eating, you know, getting back in shape. And I kind of mentioned to him, you know, kicking around the idea, you know, starting to work again. And he called me, I guess, a couple weeks before that March show and was asking me about this Heartland Cup. He's like, look, we got an idea to do a tournament. Heartland Cup, we're going to do 16 guys. We're going to do 8 HWA guys and 8 indie guys from across the country. And he's like, would you want to do it? And I was said, absolutely. You know, I was like, and actually I want to know if I could work for you guys in like 2 weeks, under a hood, you know, just to get my, you know, see how I felt, see how my timing was, see if my legs were still under me, that kind of thing. I've kind of been, you know, rolling around a little bit in the local ring here, not really working matches, but, you know, just rolling around, bumping around a little bit, see how my body felt. And ended up, you know, they went on ahead and booked me, and then something happened, and the guy that was supposed to work in the main event couldn't make it. They called me and said, this is our idea. Like, you want to do it? And I was like, yeah. Like, let's go ahead and start to come back here, you know, where I started, kind of thing. They're putting on good shows so far. I think they're, if I'm not mistaken, I know they were selling some of the shows through SmartMark Video. I'm not sure if they still are.
Tim emailed me that they're going to be selling this this coming weekend shows through SmartMark Video. So
okay, yeah, maybe do some of the spot shows too. Check out HWAonline.com, their website. I think, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot of, well, I haven't been keeping up over the past couple of years as much as I probably should have. Just kind of away from the business, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You know, I think it's a good idea, you know, to do a couple of these tournaments. You know, get some, you know, some guys in from out of the area, you know, give them some work here, you know, in the Cincinnati area. Give people, you know, a chance to see, you know, what's out there as far as independent wrestling goes.
And now you mentioned, you know, you've been out of the scene for a couple of years now. You haven't really been able to catch up with some of the stuff, but you've been around a couple of shows as of late. Are there any of the local guys that people might not have seen, if you've gotten to check them out, that you think people should really give a chance to?
I haven't really watched a lot of shows yet. He's a fan of me. And kind of been in the, you know, back. A lot of people, you know, want to catch up and, you know, who hadn't been around for a while, kind of talking and stuff like that, catching up with some people and stuff like that. So I haven't got to see as much of the shows as I probably should. I know a guy I'm going to be working with, Jesse Emerson, I believe is out of Indianapolis, decent-sized guy. I've watched a little bit of his match, I guess it's back in December. I think he worked John Moxley and had a hell of a match with John. So I'm going to need to apologize if the rest of the HWA guys hear this, but I know Jesse is a guy that's really good, and people should be on the lookout for him. He is in this tournament too, I do believe. And if I'm not mistaken, I think his first round match is Paul Burchill.
That would be correct.
Formerly of WWE.
Yep, and I've also gotten to see Jesse as well. He's working around this area. I live right near Indianapolis. He's working IPW a lot. He's tearing it up there as well. With that, and one more quick question about the tournament. You're wrestling Jimmy Jacobs in the first round. Should people expect, the intensity, the brawl and stuff you guys were doing previously, or are you guys, since it's a new place, do you plan on, kind of feeling it out a little bit, or were you just going right back into the feud?
Me and Jimmy always go out there and try to, tear the house down, so I'm sure it's not going to be any different. Like I said, I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. My conditioning's the best it's ever been. I'm ready to go out there and tear the house down and pick up where we left off. Basically, the way I'm looking at it. So.
Awesome. And one more question before you go. You said that this is just step one of the comeback, so to speak. So you're planning on getting out more and going to more places, because. Some people were speculating maybe this is just a local deal, but are you planning on going out and making this a full run again?
Yeah, I'm ready to go out and do some damage. Like I said, I'm as motivated as I've ever been. I'm as focused as I've ever been, like I said, I'm not too old for one more run, but this probably will be my last run. I'm gonna make the most of it. I'm doing AIW, which is in Cleveland, Ohio, or outside of Cleveland, is doing another tournament in May, and I am booked for that. So I'm looking forward to doing that. But, getting my legs back under me, get back on the road, working as much as possible again.
Awesome to hear. With that, if there's anything else you want to plug or let people know about, or even if you just want to, let people know where they can reach you, if they want to, just send you a line and say, hey, BJ, you're awesome. Thank you for, being BJ Whitmer.
Oh, yeah. My email address is my last name, Whitmer, and then letter B, WhitmerB@AOL.com. I'm on Facebook, easy to find, just BJ Whitmer. That's pretty much... if anybody wants to get a hold of me, they can, email me, shoot me a line on Facebook, something like that. But yeah, this is the first step, so hopefully something special.
Awesome. So one thing I do want to thank you very much for coming on the show today. Been a really good interview, and I'm sure I'll be in touch with you in the next couple of weeks about maybe doing a part two sometime, because I know Mike's got a lot of questions he wants to ask you as well, and I think this has been
perfect.
Really, really cool. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And once again, HWAOnline.com, Heartland Cup this coming Friday and Saturday for the HWA 16-man single elimination tournament. Lots of guys and lots of guys you're going to come to know. So with that, we want to thank you all very much, and we will be back in just a moment.
And that does it for this week's edition of the show. Once again, I'd like to thank BJ Whitten very much for coming on the show. I'd also like to thank Tim Tatum for organizing this whole deal and working with us on the website the past couple of weeks. Once again, go to HWAOnline.com for more information on this Friday and Saturday's big 16-man single elimination Heartland Cup coming to you from Owensville, Ohio. If you can't be at the building those two nights, it should be on smartmarkvideo.com here in a few weeks, shortly thereafter. As for what's coming up on MikeAndTomPresent.com, we should have results and coverage of the shows a couple hours after they happen via our friend Nick Manilaw, who will be at both nights' events. Also, I'd like to let you all know next week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday, we will have a member of our 10-4-11 Indie Wrestling Breakout Freshman Class, Trip Cassidy, on the show, and we're going to try to have him on every few months, kind of like the deal that Mike's doing with Alan Forel, where they're keeping up with Adam Cole as he goes through his career, because we really think Trip's going to be something big in the indie wrestling world, if not the entire scope of the sport. So we kind of want to do a show with him every few months so that you could look back and go, man, I remember hearing Trip Cassidy, way back when on Mike and Tom Present. With that, we do want to thank you all very, very much for listening, and hopefully you keep coming to MikeAndTomPresent.com. See you later.